All right, I am gonna call to order the closed session of the Board of Commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. It is 5:30 p.m. We will start out with public comment. If there are any public here wishing to make public comment.
There's nobody from the public in attendance.
All righty, then we will move on to closed session. All right, hello everybody. It is 6:04 and I'm gonna call to order the regular session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District Board of Commissioners. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Commissioner Dale.
Here.
Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yep.
Commissioner Doss.
Here.
And President Coleman.
Present. Can you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have a report on closed session?
Yes, there was no reportable action taken in closed session tonight.
Great. Thank you. Moving along to public comment. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various issues not itemized on this agenda. A member of the public may also request that a matter appearing on the consent calendar may be pulled and discussed separately. Pursuant to the Brown Act, the board may not take any action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the agenda. Do we have any members of the public wishing to speak on any items not on the agenda tonight? We're wishing for an item to be pulled from the consent calendar. All right, hearing none, we will move on to that said consent calendar. I'll entertain a motion.
So move.
I'll second.
All right, I think Richard was trying to make a motion there, but he didn't unmute himself. So we have a motion and a second. May we have a vote, please?
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks. Commissioner Marks.
Are you having trouble unmuting yourself or?
Yes.
Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
And President Coleman?
Yes. Moving on to communications, reports, and correspondence received. Do you have an executive director's report tonight?
Yeah, just really, really quickly, I just wanted to just to kind of briefly go over that, you know, two days ago's events. I'll let the board do their the communication on the event itself. But I really just wanted to just highlight the work that the maintenance staff and the office staff did to prepare, you know, for this event. We had relatively short notice and I think our facilities looked really, really well for our honored guests and our staff worked really, really hard. We have Secretary of Interior Holland, White House Council on Environmental Quality, Mallory. We had Congressman Huffman, and we had this fancy group over here that proudly represented the Harbor District. And so anyway, I think the facilities and the district was well represented by this visit. And I really appreciate Congressman Huffman in particular for his efforts. And so, with the COVID mask issues, everything is unfortunately gone back to, wearing masks, and all the staff are having to wear masks, and anybody that comes into the district offices has to wear masks. And so we reviewed the COVID protocols that the county health officer put forward, and we are implementing that. Unfortunately, we had a scare of an employee that was with in 6 feet of someone that tested positive after the fact. And so we had to take some initial precautionary measures. And so just wanted to alert the staff and the public that we are back in COVID mask requirements. The Nordic Aqua Farms environmental impact report, we continue to work with the county in a broad range of interagency working group measures to finalize that project and bring that forward. We have a staff member that's on maternity, or not on yet, but will be on maternity leave very, very soon. And so we're very happy for her. And, you know, we look forward to her return. On the bar pilot recruitment stage, we have three pilots that have expressed interest in becoming new bar pilots. And so over the course of the next month, we're going to be working with the Bar Pilots Association and then reviewing the Ordinance 16 in detail. And if need be, then we'll be coming back to the board to formally start, you know, the recruitment process for bar pilots, because John Powell, I spoke to him again today. He's still active, but he is planning to retire, and it takes a long time to train a bar pilot. And so I'm going to turn this over to Chris Mickelson. Chris, are you there?
I am. Okay, so this is our facilities report for the month of August. This is a look at some of the spruce up that was done around the marina. Shout out to our administrative services director, who's got a heck of a green thumb, as you can see over on the left, and helped us pick out some spring flowers to complement the cafe marina, the Embarcadero. One of our maintenance staff took it upon himself to work with our marina manager, those two took it to upgrade the fresh fish sign that we have available for our fishermen and their families to sell their product dockside. Kind of excited to have that. Our old one was definitely needing a facelift. So some of the summer upgrades. This is a picture of us getting prepared out at Redwood Marine Terminal 1. You can see what the road was like over on the left, fairly overgrown and underutilized. So we recently did some upgrades to make more accessibility. We'll feel there'll be a number of tours out to the Marine Terminal as we further develop our heavy lift dock plans. So a little before and after for you all. It was an all hands on deck effort by our group. I do want to call out one member in particular who worked Saturday to make sure that we were prepared for our visitors. So thank you to him. I'm not naming names. The next photo you're going to see is a little bit of what we continue to do. So we've got some great community partners out there, specifically Friends of the Dunes, Packout Green Team, who we've shared a number of times. I do want to recognize most specifically Ted and Pam Halstead. They are community volunteers who daily patrol from the Mad River Slough all the way down Vance Avenue to Cookhouse Road. It is not uncommon to pass the two of them and their little Subaru be filled with trash that they've picked up along the way. On the right-hand side, you'll see a little shanty town. We're working directly with the county agencies in regards to a shanty town that's been built both on private property and some public lands. This is a small example of what's there, the house that you see on the right. And on the left-hand side, the television and all the trash that's in the back of the district pickup. This is a daily occurrence. And so I'm very grateful for our staff who contributes to this cleanup effort and the community members who volunteer. I think the next slide is of one of our facilities men. As you know, the dog ranch was sold and transferred to the hands of the Friends of the Dunes. This is Scott Fuller, one of our maintenance men. He's been helping Mike Zipra, who's the executive director of Friends of the Dunes, with a number of maintenance tasks. Mike's one of those great partners that we have, he and his team and the group there. And this is a recent sign that they put up recognizing the agencies that are involved in that project. Finally, we had permission to get rid of some hazardous materials. You'll remember back in June, the board approved a proposal for about $18,000 to help us rid the final materials left over from the old pulping operations. This is just a photograph to let you guys know that this indeed is happening. We're working diligently on it. And as more vendors and incinerators become available in the coming month to two, we'll get rid of the remainder. Thank you.
That's all of the reports that staff has for today. Stephen, you're muted.
Sorry, I'm assuming we don't, but do we have a district council or district treasurer report?
No report from council tonight.
Okay, then moving on to commissioner reports. Let's see, I'll go in Zoom order. Richard Marks.
Thank you. Well, I was part of the Harbor District Welcoming Committee for the Secretary of the Interior, Deborah Holland, and for the rest of the crew from the White House that was here. And that was exciting about being able to update people on what we have doing, you know, going on at the harbor, you know, besides just the wind energy, the fiber optic project, and the Nordic fish farm and other things. And but I did want to just say that sometimes we forget what's going on to the north of us. And the Crescent City Harbor is back in negotiations, and it looks like they've come to an agreement for more solar energy projects at their place. And they're using the same company that the Harbor District did. And so we might want to revisit some what potentials we still have here at the Harbor District. Everything's going all right. Softball season's over, so I just hope everybody keeps healthy and please get vaccinated. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Higgins.
I've been doing forced health plans in the EEL, and very interesting, and probably a major upswing for economic development and restoration is impending in that realm. So pretty stimulating to study that kind of stuff. Eel River is going dry in a lot of its tributaries. So I'm keeping an eye on that and trying to document it because it's useful to understand the variability of the river. And it was a pleasure to listen to Secretary Holland and the lady from the CEQ and California Energy Commission. We're happening. And, you know, green jobs, climate change, are just wonderful to hear it from the administration. And I felt privileged to be there. And I brought up a couple of my pet issues with Deb. So let's see if I could work something there too. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Doss.
Thank you. I too was honored to be part of this group. It was very cool to share the attributes of Humboldt County and Humboldt Bay to the Secretary of the Interior and Environmental Quality Chair. Congressman Huffman, can't thank him enough for what he's doing as far as promoting Humboldt Bay and helping out the Harbor District as well as many others. And it was the first time to meet Karen Douglas from the California Energy Commission. And the thing that was the common thread with the four of them in just a brief meet and greet there afterwards when we took our photo was that they were all very positive about the wind project for Humboldt Bay and very positive about the other projects that I believe Stephen and Greg, I think you spent more time with them that they learned about while they were there on the bay and looking around. So I just want to tell you that I feel blessed to be able to be with all of you and work in this direction. It feels really cool to see folks from out of the area recognize the gem of Humboldt Bay. So I'm just going to leave my report with that. See you at the fair. Starts next week.
Thanks. And Commissioner Dale?
I'm trying to save you all from having to look at me by putting by muting my visual. Anyways, I too am, I will echo some of the things that former other commissioners have said. I got to tell you, this whole dock and windmill experience, we have talked about it for many years. We have attended and been a part of many Zoom calls, many meetings with our executive director, who's telling us we need to get this in under, you know, we need to move forward with this. We need to get this under control. We need to start moving on this. And we've all kind of said, yeah, okay, Larry. Well, I think about, 5 months ago, Larry, things really got serious. And there was an aha moment. And it was on one of those Zoom calls with the committee. And it was telling. There was a lot of people looking at this, and it was before President Biden had issued his infrastructure plan and committed to the monies or to putting it in his budget. But it all kind of started coming together. And I want to tell you, Jared Huffman pulled a coup this week when he brought the biggest federal official that's been in Humboldt County in a generation, two federal officials in a generation, Secretary Holland and Chair Malloy are both, I mean, you're talking to the president right there. And that says a ton of what this means to our community. And I got to hand it to you, Larry. Jack Kreider called me today and said, give Larry a big pat on the behind for me, because that guy is rocking the boat. All right. And so good for you, Larry. I'm very proud of where we're going and what we're doing. I grew up on the ocean. I spent my entire life dealing with ocean conditions and living from those ocean conditions. We have got some serious problems in the ocean due to our energy production and the way we use fossil fuels. I'm not against fossil fuels, but there's other alternatives that are much better. And I think this is one of them. And I'm proud to be a part of it. So I thank you guys all for pushing this through. And I'm looking forward to seeing windmills at a dock and offshore in Humboldt Bay, providing us with electricity. And I'll even pay for it.
Thank you. And I guess, you know, I'll just echo everything that everyone has said. It's great to see the federal attention and the state attention being paid to the area. And it's really a nexus too. I mean, they were meeting with us to talk about the wind and the infrastructure, but they're also here in Humboldt County looking at the Polytechnic Institute, looking at the Redwood Parks up north, meeting with local tribes. There's a lot going on in the county right now, and the Bay is right at the center of that. So yeah. Super exciting. And I was talking with my brothers and sisters today, Greg, and they were trying to convince me I need to let it go about windmills versus wind turbines. But just one more time for fun: mills grind grain, turbines make electricity. But
my apologies, Steve.
I was told I got to let it go. I'm the nerd here.
But Don Quixote chased windmills.
Yeah.
Are you grinding on Greg?
Yeah, it's something. Well, I'm just going to stop talking now. And
if only I could be that lucky, Patrick.
Yeah. Do we have any correspondence? Just real quick thing in my report is I met with Mike Cipra from Friends of the Dunes, and we took a nice walk around the property that we helped them acquire, and it's looking really good. So if anyone gets a chance to get out there, I think it's well worth it. Any correspondence received?
No significant correspondence received.
All right. Unfinished business is none. Oh, and I also forgot to mention, I will be leaving shortly before 7 to go pick up my lovely wife and daughter from the airport. So we'll see if we're done by then. If not, Larry will take over. New business, provide direction regarding reopening board meetings to allow in-person public participation.
There really isn't a lot to say about this. You know, basically, I wanted to bring it to your attention that the executive order dealing with the Brown Act, you know, set to expire on September 30th. Most likely that will be renewed by either the governor or some sort of legislative action. And so at this point, the boardroom is pretty much all set up and ready to go back whenever we need to do the live streaming and everything. But at this point, you know, due to the county restrictions, you know, my recommendation is to stick with Zoom until things clear up at the county level. So that's my report.
Okay. And I'll just say, as board chair, Larry and I definitely discuss and keep an eye on things. And I think that's our best option right now, is just to keep an eye on it. I read there were 90 additional cases today, another death, which my sympathy goes out to the family. And I forget how many more hospitalizations younger people are getting it. It is people with the vaccine are able to carry and transmit the Delta virus, although they're not getting as sick, and it's probably less. So, and we need to step it up as a county. We're not doing what we need to do. I see your hand, Patrick. I'm about to call on you.
So, I was absolutely shocked when I saw, I mean, we want to be number one, but we don't want to be number one in COVID. And the results that are nationwide, where we have 1 million viruses per liter in the effluent of Eureka, it just floored me. And I have pulled all public meetings of the recovery project. And if I travel out of town, I'll get a COVID test first and then be super careful. And so I would recommend the same to everybody, even if you're vaxxed. And I mean, I don't think I'm talking to anybody that's going to get vaxxed, but at this point, it's pretty amazing that our country can't come together. You know, I got a polio vaccine when I was 5, and I didn't like it. And if I would have been a choice, I would have said no, but nobody did. And I wish we were back there. So yeah, stay in, you know, in the same protocols. We have to, until this abates, and the data from the wastewater in Eureka is a really good indicator. And if anybody needs that study, I can send it to them if you want to get depressed.
Thanks. Well, all right, so again, just Larry and I will continue to discuss it, but pretty much not making any change until things get better is my take on it. Nothing else on this, we'll move on to the next item. Item B, consideration of amending resolution 2021-12, amending the salary schedule for management employees. And Larry, am I correct? And this is just adding additional job titles to the salary and waging.
This is something we discussed prior, isn't it, Larry?
Yeah, Stu, we've discussed about half of it, or maybe 2/3 of it. The board's already approved the position, what I called the project manager. In this case, I'm calling it director of development. And basically putting it in the job description. And then I'm proposing to reclassify the director of facilities management into the director of facilities and operations, which is Chris Nicholson, and to put him in classification R, and then to put Mindy Hiley into the same classification so that all three of the managers are in that same classification system. And so that's what this action does.
So move.
Okay.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on this? Any discussion from the public? All right, I guess we can bring it back up for a vote, Larry.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
Commissioner Doss?
Yes.
And President Coleman?
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Item C, consider amending the contract with Moffitt and Nickel to prepare a $56 million grant application for a new heavy lift terminal by increasing the contract by $20,000.
So move.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
So motion and a second, but can you give your report on it, Larry?
So really during the time period, we had given, the board had initially given direction to stick with the $78 million project. And so there was about a 2-week time period where we were really oscillating, going back and forth between what project, and it resulted in an increase in cost on the onto the project. And so I'm asking the board to approve, the $20,000 addition. In my opinion, we were extremely, extremely well served by Moffitt Nickel. And the plans and cost estimates that they've given us have been a huge help. And hopefully we're going to be successful with the grant application. And so I'm available for any questions if you have.
Any questions from the board? Any questions or comments from the public on this matter?
Moffitt Nickel plays in this league and well.
Thanks, public. All right, hearing nothing from the public, I guess we can, this is an action, right? So we'll take a vote. We have a motion and a second.
Commissioner Higgins. Commissioner Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Vice President Doss.
Yes.
I don't know if there was a noise, but I think you said my name, so yes. All right. I guess you all really don't want Larry to take over from me. So, D. Receive a report from staff on the RTI infrastructure Trans-Pacific broadband cable landing lease at Redwood Marine Terminal 2 and provide direction as appropriate.
So the Coastal Commission, it was on the agenda for today. I tried logging on to the meeting, but I wasn't able to log on. And so my assumption is that it was approved today. I did not hear otherwise. I'm sure I'll find out tomorrow morning. But my assumption is that all the approvals have been made. On that. And then basically we have already sent over the wire instructions to them to wire the funds over to the Harbor District. And so the plan is that by the end of September, the first cable will be pulled through the conduit. And then the second cable will be pulled the first part of October. And so as part of that project, we approved a short-term lease of approximately 10,000 square feet of the tarmac area on a month-to-month basis for $2,000 a month so that they can stage their construction equipment. And so we're anticipating that we're probably gonna get an additional $10,000 or $12,000 of rental income from the tarmac space for that project. We're also leasing a little bit of tarmac space to the construction company that's doing the Bureau cable landing. We have been for the last month or so. And so they're essentially fusing or welding the conduits at our property and then dragging in that as they're installing the cable that's going down Highway 255. And so again, I didn't hear the affirmative, but my assumption is that that project was approved today. And if I hear otherwise, I will send out an email tomorrow to the board and inform you of a decision if it was in the negative. But again, everything is moving forward with that project and that we anticipate receiving over $1.2 million. And then the very first thing that we're gonna do with that money as we receive it per the agreement with Coast Seafood is to pay off the Coast Seafood debt. And that will free up approximately $13,000 per month of debt service. And so that's my report on the RTI cable landing.
That will certainly be a major landmark when that is paid off. Thank you for all your hard work on that. And what did you say would right now we're expecting to get that first check or first wire? September, did you say?
They have given us the schedule, and what they specifically said is that expect the first cable to land on September 29th, and so they will make the payment on August 29th. So the first payment of $625,000 will be made on August 29th. And then they said this, expect the second cable to land on October 7th, and thus the payment will be due on September 7th. And that will be $333,000. And then there's an additional $425,000, which is to be issued upon issuance of the coastal development permit, which was supposed to be issued today. And they said that we should expect payments on that by September 29th of this year. And so combined total would be $1,383,333 within the next about month and a half.
And we're in Corona and we can't celebrate. That's wicked. Congratulations, Larry.
Thank you. This, and I really want to thank Ryan Plotz in particular for sticking with all the gyrations that we had to go to make this happen. So thank everyone.
Yeah, it wasn't a straight path from A to B, was it? But good work on it. Any other comments from the board? Anything from the public on this? All right, thank you. Item E, receive a report on the proposed new heavy lift terminal project and provide direction as appropriate.
So just really quickly is that, as the board knows, we submitted the grant for the $145 million project. And so that was moving forward. Today we had a meeting with the US EPA, and there was five or six people from Washington DC and the Region 9 office. And what they're looking to do and to provide us assistance, that they would do basically the same thing as they've done for that the RMT2, which is the targeted brownfield site assessment and cleanup activities. But then in addition to that, what they're currently doing is putting a scope of work where they're gonna have their consultant try to identify some specific federal and state funding sources that may be appropriate for this overarching project. And so the EPA is gonna assist the Harbor District to try to target some specific funding source so we can complete the multi-purpose dock project, and also to help us with kind of the sources and uses, the timeline, basically the development proposals, and really helping us do kind of a preliminary business plan analysis of what the costs are. I also had a meeting this afternoon with one of the port developers that's our operator developer, a large port operator developer. And what they were saying to us, they would help us to kind of put together, sort of the operating revenues. What might we be able to expect of the revenues from the offshore wind industry targeting this port? And when the terminal's developed, then also to begin to target some other commerce that we might be able to use and go across the dock to keep the dock busy and really incorporate this. And so, really just wanted to say that our federal partners and state partners and local partners are really reaching out to us and going the extra mile to try to help us. And so we're trying to work with all of these parties. And one thing that I think that we're really gonna have to consider over the course of this next month to 2 months, really in the short term, is whether we're going to need a lobbyist to assist us to try to target some of these funding sources. And so I just wanted to briefly give you an update of this, and that we definitely continue to move this project forward. And we have a lot of partners out there that want to help us.
Commissioner Dale. You're muted.
I should probably remain muted. I think Larry's got a great point in the fact that when we start dealing with some of these more sophisticated or larger agencies and we're competing against some fairly sophisticated ports, we're going to need some help. And I don't underestimate our staff and our board, but we're quickly getting into things that we have no experience or no knowledge about. And I think Larry's right. We need to probably look for someone to help us on a multitude of levels. I don't know. What we don't know is what we don't know. And I think there's people out there that could help us with this and make it very expensive. And there's people that we could trust. I think there's people that we couldn't trust. But I agree with what Larry said, is we probably need to find someone that can help us. A lobbyist, a person who's been through all of this. And I think maybe it's time to put out a request. And I don't know how you do this, Larry, but I think most of it is probably making some phone calls, interviewing some people, and then we make a decision as a group on an individual or a company to help us. But I do think this is very quickly. I mean, I after this week, very quickly getting out of our hands, out of control for us. Would you agree, Larry?
Well, I think we have it. I wouldn't use out of control. In control. But in order to take advantage of the opportunities that are presenting us, we cannot respond that fast. In particular, to people that, you know, in Washington, D.C. and other parts of the country where we're not present. You know, we definitely have our limitations and we absolutely need help. But, you know, I think we still have it under control.
I didn't mean to say that, Larry. I think you guys are doing a great job, but I think we're at this point now where we're talking multiple millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, and it can be very expensive to make a mistake or to lose out on those opportunities. The other thing that we got is we really need to bring the community into this process, because this is a process. I think the community benefit package that we are asking for and we're all pushing for is something that is going to take some effort and probably effort in Washington, D.C. I don't think we can. I know that Jared Huffman is on board with it and will push it, but it's going to take more than just Jared. He's going to need some help. He's going to need that support. And I think that's something that we need to do. And I it's going to be expensive. Larry, my question to you is, is your understanding that the state funding that we may receive could provide some of that help?
But we won't be able to use any of the state money for lobbying. There's no question. They, you know, that's usually an absolute no-no with any kind of federal assistance or state assistance, is no lobbying.
I'll stay down and let Patrick wave his
arms. Well, before Patrick starts speaking, and I saw you waving your hands there, because I'm going to be leaving shortly. I'm going to say my piece here. And that's, I 100% agree. We're punching a little bit above our weight here, but doing it, we're holding our own. But my one concern or takeaway is that this should be a shared activity and shared expense. This is not just benefiting the Harbor District. This is benefiting the county. And also there's other public agencies who should be sharing in this. And I'm sure you're discussing and there's that coalition, but I would really want to caution, and I'd resist the idea that the Harbor District needs to be the only one hiring a lobbyist. I think it should be, there should be a combined effort and a combined countywide strategy. So that's, but I'm 100% supportive and 100% in agreement on that. And so I'll let Patrick take it away, and I'll probably sneak away in the next few minutes.
We had said lobbyists when I came on the Harbor District in 2008, and it was our custom to retain them when our ambition was a $30 million Redwood terminal articulated with the railroad. So we have engaged such services, people who are good at this and lobby for the other large ports. We can acquire their services. So you pick a winner and, you know, you pay somebody that doesn't know the game and they're not really inside, then you paid for nothing. So we want to have somebody that's got what it takes. And it's a factor in the game. It's a cost of doing business. And I think what Larry told us a few minutes ago is that we have some liquidity. And so therefore we're in an unusual position to absorb such costs as we haven't been in the past going forward, you know, but we did it anyway. But at any rate, it's not that big a deal. And I think it's, you know, the legislation, it has to have lobbyists. I mean, we're not going to be in it if we're not there. And so we can get tips from Huffman. Our lobbyists will feed us. We will be synergistic. And, you know, that's the way business rolls in America.
Needed. Anything else from the commission? Any comment on this item from the public? All right, bringing it back up. I mean, I'm just going to reiterate that not only am I talking about sharing costs, but I think this, you know, at this point, I think it really needs to be a broader than us effort, and the lobbyists should be lobbying for multiple things across, like, a lot of these initiatives going on in the county and sort of one strategic kind of plan that the Bay is a part of. So that's, I still would really support the idea of a combined effort in this. You know, not saying that they're going to be like, I might have misspoke on that. Not, I mean, I think they should be focused on the terminal and the Bay, but as part of a larger strategic plan is what I'm trying to say. And Greg, you're going to say something?
Well, one last thing. I don't disagree with you, Stephen. The one thing I'm worried about, or I'm concerned that brings concern to me, is the loss of control. And when you bring a coalition into this, it starts getting, and maybe it's not a bad thing, but I don't want it to get washed down to where we lose control and it goes sideways.
And any private partnerships in this regard would be inappropriate because those are the parties that are going to be trying to compete for the business. So there's no public-private partnership on the lobbying fund, I don't think.
No, not that. I'm talking about public-public. Mostly looking at the county is what I'm thinking. And maybe any other countywide agencies that I won't mention. But, you know, I'll leave that up to staff to try and figure out, and I'm sure we'll discuss it more. But I mean, unless, were you planning on going and trying to hire a lobbyist before our next meeting? Okay.
Well, I'll begin to make some outreach efforts. We've already been approached by one firm in particular that Ryan and I have talked about, and then there's the county already has a lobbyist that we've been talking to using the county's lobbyist that we've. In particular on the AB 525 that we've been speaking and working jointly with the county. And then there's the CAPA lobbyist, California Association of Port Authorities lobbyists. that we've been, as the California ports, that we've been talking about wind energy. And so I've already been talking to, you know, three different lobbyists. I'll plan to bring something back, but have a communication with the subcommittee, you know, on this over the course of the next few weeks.
Great. Thank you. Continue. Good work. All right. There's a bunch of future agenda items on there. Bar pilot recruitment, Green Diamond Shared Services Agreement, Coast Guard Utilities at Woodley Island, something about longfin smelt, whatever that is, and Brown Act training. There's nothing else. How did I do? 49 minutes, Richard? That's not quite 10, but not
too bad. You had a large agenda. You did good.
Thanks.
Your personal best.
I think this was my best. Yeah. We're adjourned. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. See you all soon.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night, you guys.